At the dawn of the universal creation, a great sacrifice was performed by the leaders of mankind, namely Marici, Daka, and Basista. All great personalities, powerful sages, philosophers, and demigods, along with their followers, assembled at the sacrificial arena. Lord Brahma, the creator, and Lord Shiva, the destroyer of this universe, were also present. When Daka, the leader of the Prajapatis, the first progenitors of the universe, entered into the assembly, his bodily luster was so bright that practically everyone else present seemed insignificant. Influenced by Daka's luster, they gave up their places immediately and stood in respect. Lord Brahma is considered to be the first living entity of this universe and the creator of all the material planets and entities. Lord Brahma is directly empowered by the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, or Vishnu, and so he was logically presiding at the head of the assembly. Although Lord Brahma did not arise to honor Daka, he adequately welcomed him with words and asked him to take a seat of honor. Lord Shiva alone remained seated without showing any respect to the effulgent Prajapati. Daka was very offended upon seeing Lord Shiva sitting there, and instead of taking his seat, Daka began to speak strongly against
him. All sages, Brahmins, and fire gods present here, please hear me with attention as I am speaking about the manners of gentle persons, and I am not speaking out of ignorance or envy.
Daka very tactfully presented to the assembly that he was going to make a sensible speech and not out of enviousness. Although he was speaking like a man in ignorance by intending to attack Lord Shiva's behavior, and although all present were perfectly aware of Lord Shiva's exalted position, yet Daka was so envious that he tried to cover his poisonous statements with a plea for gentleness and non-enviousness. He then launched verbally into Lord Shiva and said that he had ruined the good name of the demigods and that he is unclean.
Although Lord Shiva has already accepted a position subordinate to me by marrying my daughter, yet he is not respectful to his father-in-law.
The fact was that Lord Shiva's wife, Sati, was the daughter of Daka, and they had married under the instructions of Lord Shiva's father, Lord Brahma. Since Lord Shiva was actually the son-in-law of Daka, one might well ask, why did he not stand up and pay his respects when Daka arrived? And that might have prevented the total holocaust, which, as we shall see, soon followed. The answer is that at the time Daka entered, Lord Shiva was meditating, as he always is, on the form of the Supreme Lord who dwells in the hearts of all creatures. As the greatest devotee of the Lord, he was in trance of ecstasy, meditating on the one God of all being and non-being, who alone is factually worthy of all of our reverence. In meditation, he might not have seen Daka enter the arena of sacrifice. But Daka took the opportunity of cursing him because he was holding an envious attitude towards Lord Shiva.
Shiva remains in the filthiest of places, like the crematorium, and his companions are ghosts and demons, and he remains like a madman. He never bathes regularly, and he puts on a garland made of skulls of dead bodies around his neck for ornamentation. He is very dear to the crazy beings in the modes of ignorance. And on the request of Lord Brahma, I handed over my chaste daughter to him, although he is devoid of all cleanliness, and his heart is filled with nasty things.
Actually, Lord Shiva is very kind to persons who are in the darkness of the mode of ignorance, the drunkards, the madmen, and the unclean. He is so compassionate upon the lowest of the low that he gives such creatures shelter and gradually makes them elevated to spiritual understanding. This is the explanation of Lord Shiva's transcendental position. Daka cursed Lord Shiva out of envy, and he called him the lowest of the demigods and not worth being offered oblation or taking part in the sacrifice. Daka was a very powerful mystic Brahmin, but under the deadly influence of anger, he declared that he could not bear to carry on in the presence of the unclean Lord Shiva, and so he left the area of sacrifice. All the sages and Lord Brahma beseech Daka with
me. My dear Daka, please do not leave our company. Why, what would the sacrifice be without your presence?
Yes, Daka, please stay. The fire sacrifice cannot possibly continue without your presence.
My dear Daka, please do not leave our company. How can the sacrifice go on without you?
No, he has ruined my sacrifice. He is contaminated with his filthy presence.
But in spite of all such requests,
stay here and for all the three
Daka left the place under the effect of cruel anger. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is advised that anyone interested in spiritual advancement must avoid lust, anger, and passion. But Daka was attacked by all three.
Daka is a despicable fool. He does not understand the transcendental...
Nandakishwar, who was one of the chief associates and disciples of Lord Shiva, was also caught in the evil influence of anger, and he cursed Daka, as well as the Brahmins there who merely sat by. Nandakishwar, in his anger, did not follow the example of Lord Shiva, who is silent and tolerant. Ignited by the envy of Daka, Nandakishwar wrongly accused the Brahmins present there in a non-discriminate condemnation. The whole issue became so complicated that those who were not strong enough forgot their positions, and cursing, counter-cursing went on in the great assembly.
You're a hypocrite and a bigger fool than
you're
any
of us. You're all a bigger fool than any of us.
I think you should all be cursed. Get up!
You
get away from me! Curse you and curse you all!
I curse you and curse... May your nose fall off in the next week!
And the cursing and recursing was going on. Lord Shiva was silent and sober and didn't speak a word. Lord Shiva is described as always tolerant, but he became sorry at the unnecessary anger, and in order to stop them, he left the arena of sacrifice, and his disciples followed. Thereafter, Daka began another performance of sacrifice, and he deliberately did not invite Lord Shiva. Generally, although such sacrifices were meant for pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, yet all the demigods, and especially Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, were always invited. Otherwise, the sacrifice was not complete. But Daka, being very proud of his position as the chief of the Prajapatis, and envious and inimical to Lord Shiva, thought to avoid him. Many sages and demigods from all parts of the universe, with their wives nicely decorated and dressed, were attending the sacrificial ceremony. When Sati, the daughter of Daka, saw that from all directions the beautiful wives in their fine clothing were going along with their husbands in airplanes, she too became anxious to go, and she approached her husband.
My dear Lord Shiva, if you desire to go to the ceremony, then we could go, even without an invitation. Being a woman, I have some attachment for dressing up and participating in nice social functions. I love to meet my relatives and friends in the assembly. I know you're a different personality and are not interested in material enjoyment, but I am not so transcendentally advanced as yourself, and therefore I have a strong desire for a nice social family gathering. So I am begging that we might dress with ornaments and go there like the others.
But on hearing reference to Daka's sacrifice, Lord Shiva remembered the heart-piercing, malicious speeches delivered at the last sacrifice, and he became sorry at heart.
My dear wife, as soon as you would reach the house of your father, Daka would become angry with you, although you are faultless. Therefore, I forbid you to go. As my wife, you would certainly be insulted by Daka and his followers, and such insults would be equal to your death.
All right.
Finally,
you do not let
she
me go,
forcibly left her
go
husband's
alone.
Protection
you
and started out alone
anywhere,
towards Daka's house.
We will see if
when Lord Shiva saw that Sati was bent on going, he sent his men with her, and he also followed, seated on his bull and accompanied by thousands of disciples. When Sati reached Daka's house, she was greeted only by her mother and sisters. Daka, her father, completely ignored her. On account of her association with Lord Shiva, he forgot all his affection for his own daughter. Such is the material, familiar conception of love, that even by the slightest provocation, all intimate affection is gone, and a whole relationship is finished. Sati was grieving over this insult, and at the same time, as she looked over the arena of sacrifice, she saw that there was no oblation or sacrificial offering being made to Lord Shiva. Whenever one offers oblation in the fire, Lord Shiva is one of the demigods honored by the chanting of the sacred mantra, Namah Shivaya Swaha. But under Daka's instructions, the Brahmins deliberately omitted Lord Shiva's offering and were not uttering that mantra. With this, she became doubly insulted.
Lord Shiva is the friend of all living entities. He fulfills all desires of the common man, as well as the higher personalities who are seeking after transcendental bliss. You think yourself superior to Lord Shiva as his father-in-law, and you call him inauspicious for associating with the demons in the burning crematorium, with the locks of hair thrown all over his body and garlanded with human skulls. But greater personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, honor Lord Shiva by accepting flowers offered to his feet. So you do not know that he is always transcendental. He must be. Otherwise, why should such a person like Lord Brahma worship him? It is written in the Veda that Lord Shiva is one of a kind. He is almost as great as the Supreme Lord himself.
Offering many arguments based on authoritative Vedic information, Sati, as a chaste wife, faithfully defended her husband from the slander of her father, Daka. Sati was not merely talking. She was deeply mortified to be so intimately connected with Daka, who had committed so many offenses at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva.
I am therefore connected with you and very much ashamed. I shall not any more bear this unworthy body which is received from you who have blasphemed Lord Shiva. If someone takes poisonous food, the best thing is to throw up. Therefore, I shall give up this contaminated body.
Being the source of her unhappiness, Sati decided to quit her body at once. Dressed in yellow garments, Sati sat on the ground, facing the northern side, and closed her eyes. She became absorbed in the mystic yoga process. She took the required sitting posture, and then carried the life air upwards towards the navel, and gradually raised it to the heart, and towards the pulmonary passage. And from there, she raised the life force between her eyebrows, meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Shiva. She became cleansed of all taints of sin, and then quit her body in blazing fire. When the body of Sati was annihilated by anger, there was a great tumultuous roar heard all over the universe. Most astonishing was that Daka remained disrespectful and unmoved by his chaste daughter and made no attempt to stop her death. Lord Shiva was at a distance from the sacrifice, but when he was informed that his wife was dead due to Daka's insult and that his associate soldiers had been driven away, he became angry. Lord Shiva, in anger, pressed his lips with his teeth, and from a bunch of hair on his head, he snatched a piece of hair that blazed like fire, and laughing like a madman, he dashed the hair onto the ground. Suddenly, there appeared a personality as tall as the sky, equipped with thousands of weapons and arms, of a black color and as bright as three suns. Lord Shiva sent this gigantic demon of personified anger to kill Daka. Led by the demon of anger, his army swept into the sacrificial arena and prepared to plunder everything in sight. Seeing the approaching army, the Brahmins and their assembled women began to flee. The followers of Lord Shiva are described as running around the sacrificial arena with bodies like shark fish. They pulled down the pillars of the altars, entered residential and kitchen departments. They broke pots and urinated on the sacrificial ground. Some of them blocked the way of the fleeing sages and shackled the women. Two priests who had shown their teeth during the cursing of Lord Shiva had their teeth personally extracted by the soldiers of Lord Shiva. And a continuous shower of stones was set up so that all the members of the sacrifice were in a miserable condition and running for fear of their lives. It is described that such horrible fighting was not exactly on an inimical basis. Actually, everyone present was very powerful, and they all wanted to show off their strength by Vedic mantra or mystic power. finally, Daka himself was beheaded by the gigantic personality created by Lord Shiva. The party of Lord Shiva gave out joyful explanations, and the Brahmins in charge of the sacrifice also exclaimed, but in grief, at the death of Daka in such a manner. Daka's head was thrown on the sacrificial fire, and the whole area was set on fire by the followers of Lord Shiva, who then departed to their master's place. Defeated and injured, the demigods, priests, and all members of the sacrificial assembly then approached Lord Brahma with great fear. They offered their obeisances and spoke in detail to him of all that had happened. Lord Brahma already knew what had happened, and having known beforehand, he did not attend the sacrifice. When he had heard everything from the members, he began to chastise them for their puffed up attitude.
You cannot have happiness if you blaspheme great personalities like Lord Shiva. Actually, it was good that Daka was killed. Otherwise, without that punishment, he would have committed more and more offenses and would have been entangled more in future lives. But actually, Lord Shiva has an easy and compassionate nature. If you go to him without any reservation of mind and surrender unto him and ask to be excused at his lotus feet, he is very easily pleased and it will be very nice. He has recently lost his wife and is afflicted by the unkind words of Daka. So go and beg his pardon, who is so powerful that by his anger all the planets can be destroyed.
Lord Shiva was indeed pacified by this, and he spoke very kindly to the Brahmins.
My dear Brahmins, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods because they are childish and less intelligent, and I do not take a serious view of it. But whatever I have done is just to punish them in order to set them right.
By this, Lord Shiva expressed his desire for everyone's welfare and asserted that he had only chastised in a way that a father punishes his son and not as an enemy. All the priest's injuries were gradually healed, and even Daka was revived to life by Lord Shiva's placing the head of a goat on his body. Although he had a goat's head and a human body, Daka was revived in his original individual consciousness. When he saw Lord Shiva, just by his presence, Daka became purified in mind. Tears rolled from his eyes, and he was finally sorry and affected by the death of his daughter, Sati. He could hardly express himself in prayers, overwhelmed with non-duplicitous love and respect for Lord Shiva.
My dear Lord Shiva, although I was punished by you for my ignorance, I understand that you have not withdrawn your plea. Please, therefore, forgive my wretched acts.
After begging their forgiveness from Lord Shiva, and with the permission of Lord Brahma, Daka again began the sacrifice in the regular way with fire and oblations. And first, they offered oblations of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, in order to make the whole situation purified. Goswami A.C. Bhaktivedanta writes in this matter, "Performance of sacrifice is very difficult, especially in this age of Kali, the age of quarrel. Those who are intelligent know that it is neither possible to perform the costly sacrifices nor to invite the demigods to participate. Therefore, in this age, the Srimad Bhagavatam recommends Sankirtan, the chanting of the holy names, as the means to keep the balance of social peace and prosperity and to attain spiritual perfection. Sankirtan means to chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and to invite people to join and distribute sumptuous feasting or prasadam. This sacrifice will automatically please all the demigods, and there will be peace and prosperity throughout the world."
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Hare Hare.